This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But also now, Odyssey Sports is giving you the opportunity to win a grand prize trip for you and three friends to go out to Las Vegas for the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. It's the Slam Dunk in Las Vegas. Here's all you have to do. Download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 92.9 FM ESPN for at least 1 hour each day, and you are entered to win. You and three friends could win round-trip airfare, plus a five-night stay to go see our boy Tim Murray at the Circa downtown Las Vegas, plus $5,000 spending cash for each of you, $20,000 cash total. If you want to just do a syndicate and have a little more power at the tables, if you will, or at the window, you can always go favored nations. All you have to do is listen on the Odyssey app for 1 hour each day. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday, is of course the host of VSiN Prime Time, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, airing Saturdays 9 a.m. You can see it on the VSiN app. You can also check your local listings. It's on a few of the RSNs, if you will. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at 1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
Yes, indeed. It is a good day. Had a fun night betting some college hoops last night, a little late night sweat. Didn't get hit in the face by a beer can like Howie Roseman.
Took it like a champ.
Hell yeah, man. Have you ever had... So I'll give you... It wasn't a beer can that hit me in the head. But we were coming out of the tunnel for one of my prestigious D3 hoops games. And my senior year, I led the squad out of the tunnel. And I...
Did you have the C on your chest?
I was a captain, but we did not have C's. It was D3, man. I had to beg my coach 3 years later if I could just get my jersey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure my roommate, even D1, he was a team captain, and he didn't have a C.
I feel like C's outside of hockey are kind of new. Like, C's in college football, I feel like, are new.
Well, and then, of course, you have Dion with L's and D's, leaders and dogs.
But I wish there was a... I don't know if there's a video of Howie just eating it in like a champ, right? But I came out of the tunnel, and you're supposed to, you know, go around the opponent, but I went right through them.
Smart.
And I got a ball off the dome, and I'm like...
So you had Desmond Bane... I don't know if... Because I think you were on the air, but Desmond Bane the other night smoked a guy with like a... He was trying to throw like a cross. Smoked a guy in the head against the Suns.
So I had one. I was like, all right, what do I do? Do I stop and start a pregame fight, or do I just pretend like it didn't happen and just run through it? Because it was kind of a you know what move to clip yeah, no, off it, their
it,
half
it,
of the
field. It was
field.
Definitely a hard-o move to. Yeah. Like you were trying to set the tone. I assume this is a rivalry game.
I don't even know. It was just, I mean, look, when you play, when you're the backup center who plays 8 to 9 minutes a game, you get to lead the team out of the tunnel. You get a little too overzealous. So let's just put it at that. So I could have been playing the little sisters of the poor for all I know. It was a conference game. But
I can't remember getting hit with like a beer can or something like that, but I definitely remember, you know, you always had to have, you and I both played baseball, so during any BP session, you always had to have your head on a swivel. And because I was a catcher, oftentimes we're like down the line and we're doing flat ground work with pitchers. And so you always had to kind of have your head on a swivel. I remember getting hit with, like in warmups during football games, you know, I was always out with a specialist. And so, you know, you'd occasionally get hit with a punt that went awry. But I cannot remember getting smoked by any type of can.
I don't think I have. And hopefully we can keep up that. I did, yeah, definitely at some point, whether it was a, I remember my freshman year, the varsity practice on one end and the JV practice on the other, and I was coming down the stairs. I think I must have had class late or something like that, and they were already hitting BP, and I just got smoked in the thigh by a line drive, just whistling right. And you're there, and it hurts so bad, and you're like, can't show that this hurt. So there is something about baseball players where you're like, I know that hurt, but you can't show that it hurt. And you're like, God, that just – there are points as you learn as a baseball player, and I'm not pretending like I – you know, football players get hit a lot more regularly, but there's something about getting hit by a projectile at 80-plus miles an hour at some unfortunate part in your body. You're like, why did that hurt so bad?
Yeah. You actually bring up a good point because, though, like having played both I played baseball, basketball, football, but I played football and baseball the most competitively. The hits in football that look the most painful, where you just get absolutely rocked, and because I didn't weigh very much, like my sophomore and junior year when I'm running scout team quarterback, like at times the defense, like, they had a Greg Williams hit system. It was like, who could hit Jeffrey the hardest? And like, you know, like that was like a badge of honor. The ones that look the worst are not the ones that hurt. The ones that hurt are kind of similar to what you're talking about. It's the face mask on the shin, the face mask on the elbow. It's like stuff where you're exposed. When you just get absolutely lit up, you're padded. And, you know, you kind of land, like, unless you land head first. Now that does hurt. It doesn't matter if you're falling face forward or if you're falling backwards. If your head's the first thing to hit, that just absolutely rocks you up. But in baseball, I used to think, I mean, obviously, again, I was a catcher, so I got hit at a high frequency. The ones that would kill the most, like that you're talking about, the one where the umpire always does the solid. You always know a home plate umpire liked you if you dropped to block and it missed your chest protector and hit like the inner, you know, like right on the inner part of like your forearm. Like if it hit that, those killed. You're 100% right about the ones on the thigh. Like the foul ball off the mask never bothered me, but like if an umpire called time and would like dust off the plate and ask
you had to do the same too if they got hit, right?
Yes.
Take the stroll out to the mound.
And then that one's even worse because then you're worried like, oh God, is he going to hold it against me? Like, you know, like am I now lose? I was getting a pretty good zone. You know, I was framing it up pretty nicely on the outer edges. We were getting at least an extra baseball. Like, is that now gonna work against us? But the funniest one that I can always think about, it's one of my all-time favorite clips, and I think it's been scrubbed from the internet, because did you ever do the youth baseball tournament that would coincide with the college baseball World Series in Omaha? Like, they always have, like, a big youth baseball tournament. So one year, I'm out there with my brother's team, and we're just, like, staying in the hotel waiting on his, like, next game. and they had the like the 2 p.m. CWS game on, and I believe it was Nebraska and Tulane, and I believe Jabba Chamberlain was on the mound for Nebraska, and he takes a one-hopper right back straight into the nuts. Like, ooh, just the it was the most obvious nut shot of all time. Heroically, he like bare hands the baseball, fires it to first, and then just falls immediately to the fetal position. Harold Reynolds was doing the game for ESPN, and I guess they couldn't really tell in real time, and then they showed the replay, and he just very eloquently goes, he's going to be down there for a long time. And it's just, it's one of the all-time, like, that's like one of those clips that if it happens in the internet era, it would, like, last forever. But because it was, you know, the early 2000s and we didn't have social media, like, and who the heck was watching a college baseball game at 2 in the afternoon? Like, that wasn't exactly, you know, busting the ratings. But that, those are the ones. Like, I think that's kind of an underrated, like, what are the subtle, most painful things in sports? Like, that's up there.
I'll give you one from similar. I'll try to figure out from an FCC standpoint how I can properly discuss this portion of the
body.
Well,
here are the rules. You can say A, but you can't say A-hole. That's never made sense to me. And then other than that, it's like you can't say F and you can't say S. So go for it.
So in that same region that Jabba got hit,
mm-hmm,
but not the singular portion of that area, there was a guy going up for a layup. This is my freshman year. And my freshman year, I played at a pretty prestigious Catholic school. So I got, you know, like 10 to 12 minutes a game. And then I transferred so I could actually play college high school
basketball. Mark has trained our audience to know that the Catholic schools in D.C. was like, that was the peak of basketball.
It's pretty insane, and it's gotten even better since I left. But I was part of that conference for 1 year, just playing freshman hoops. And this kid goes up for a layup, and his leg kicks out and just nicks the top part of the singular region down there. And it felt like my lower extremities were on fire. Like, literally felt like someone lit me on fire. And then it's the end of the, I think it was the end of the third quarter, and our coach my freshman year always put the starters back in for the start of every quarter. So the quarter ends, I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm out. And he's like, Tim, you're still in the game. It was like the first time all year
did your guy have foul trouble, or did your coach just not like you?
I don't know, but I just remember the ref looking at me.
Or is he somebody that really enjoyed like dark humor?
The ref looked at me and goes, "That's where I wear a cup." I'm like, okay,
well,
thanks.
He brings up a good point because this used to always, because I was a catcher, you had to.
I always wear a cup in baseball. I had a. I remember I was in eighth grade. I was playing third base, and I was going to the game. And the, you know, my buddy's dad was driving me, and he was like, "You're not wearing a cup?" I was like, "No, I've never worn a cup." He's like, "Man, you want to start wearing a cup?" And that game, I took a line drive like off the inner thigh, and ever since that day, I was like, "Yep, I'm wearing a cup from here on out, no matter what position I'm playing."
It made, I guess, like if you want to make the argument as an outfielder, fine, okay.
I wore it in the outfield.
Like, well, I mean, I was like, I just got to the point where it's like I didn't know anything else other than wearing. But when I found out one time when my third baseman wasn't wearing a cup, like, I looked at him, and I told, I think I've told you this story. So yesterday, nothing brings me more joy than when the PGA Tour goes to the outstanding places in America. Like, yesterday, they're back at Torrey Pines for Tiger's tournament, and it was raining. And so I immediately texted my group chat from college, prayers up to all my San Diego boys. I know that y'all, like, this is worse than us getting snow. Like, y'all can't deal with this. My freshman suite mate was from San Diego. His Jeep Grand Cherokee did not have windshield wipers. And when he's telling me this, it was like the ultimate standoff of, he couldn't believe that I was flabbergasted, that I was so, like, out of sorts that he didn't have windshield wipers, and I couldn't believe that he had a car that didn't have windshield wipers. It was like the ultimate just like standoff. And like, I was thinking like that whenever I found out my third baseman did not wear a cup, I just looked at him, I was like, are you serious? Because you do also...
The hot corner, brother.
Well, this is the other thing, though, about your moment. Listen, nothing to that region feels good. But if you get that whistling, pardon the pun, tip shot...
That's what I got.
Straight off the jewels, I always think that those hurt worse. And there's always that weird... like 2 second delay, like split second.
You'd rather
second.
The direct hit yeah. as opposed to the delayed 100%. Reaction. You're like, oh my god.
Yeah, 100%.
And now you've had the joy of fatherhood.
Yeah.
And man, those little ones, they start flailing. Their heads
oh,
start.
Oh, we've had.
And it's just right, fellas, all day. You're like, oh god, okay.
Because we're my wife is an only child, and I come from a family of three boys, and I just see that my daughter is wired. I hope you're sitting down for this. Kind of like a punk. I don't know where she got it from. You know, I have no clue. And so I'm very adamant of like, we got to get her a sibling. Like she cannot have, she will be a menace to society if the whole world just revolves around her. But you know, my wife's like, oh well, you're not the one that has to deal with it again. It's like, okay, that's fine. But my daughter seems to be, whether or not she knows it, on a mission to make sure she's an only child. Speaking of other kicks to the nuts, Valentine's Day. All right, so you brought you brought this up. And I don't know how you feel about Valentine's Day, but I have always held the opinion Valentine's Day is no win. The best you can hope for is a draw. The fact that you didn't ruin everything and you get to move on to tomorrow. So I don't know what your relationship is with Valentine's Day, but that has always been like a win is basically just going, okay, she's not mad at me. Like that's the best I could hope for.
I think that's an accurate assessment on this day. I've been fortunate. I've been in the same relationship now with my lovely wife now for going on 18 years. So, yeah, she looks at me the other day and she goes, are we doing anything? Like, the wink, wink, like, no, we're not doing anything. I was like, well, I was going to get you flowers. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. As long as, because that's the other thing. My, like, we've done this because, like, we actually did this at Christmas because we had two mortgages because we decided to buy a house before we sold one, although we closed yesterday. So, oh my God. Like, yesterday was the ultimate. This is like the first time my wife is not going to just like yell at me. I got my Q4 bonus and we got the wiring from closing out the house in the same day. Like, as someone who is not rich, like that was at least nice to know that I could lose a couple of bets last night and I wasn't going to have to like.
You're like, honey, we're doubling down on the Dons tonight, San Francisco.
No, we doubled down on the Tigers.
Because shouts.
This was what got us thinking because you're asking me what's the, you know, what's like a Valentine's Day gimmick that we could do that doesn't roll our eyes. And I was, as you were texting me that, I was just got done watching a segment on ESPN in which Mina Kimes was saying which players were making eyes across the bar to each other, who was starting a relationship. I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do that because that made me want to throw up. But what's the sports equivalent of Valentine's Day where you can't win? The best you can just hope for is no damage done. We're moving on to tomorrow. And the first thing that came to mind, and maybe this is because the Tigers played last night, it's the AAC conference schedule. Like, you're not going to get – there's no quad one opportunities. You're praying to God that Temple can pick it up enough, although they lost to Tulsa outright at home the other day. You're just hoping that that can, like, somehow be a quad two game. But it's just the AAC conference schedule for me. It's like the only thing you can do is damage to your life. There's no such thing as, like, great wins, anything. You're just moving on and hoping to play another day.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit off air about this year's AAC, and it's very reminiscent how skilled this Memphis team is, what we know they're capable of. Obviously, we saw what they're capable of beating Clemson, beating UConn, beating Michigan State, opening up the year. Goodness gracious, does that Missouri win look better every single day?
I mean, even their Ole Miss win is aging nicely.
Yes, like Ole Miss is looking very strong. So it feels a lot like what Gonzaga dealt with for years, which was you test yourself in the non-con and then you just beat up on a bunch of randos. And the WCC, at least this year, St. Mary's is good. San Francisco's pretty decent. By the way, Memphis beat San Francisco, so Tiger fans should have been cheering for the Dons last night. Couldn't get there, but San Francisco's kind of a bubble-ish team. Oregon State is decent, even though I think they lost last night to a pretty bad team. But regardless, the WCC has gotten a little bit better. The AAC this year, man, goodness gracious, that
See, actually, I'm going to push back on you there. I don't think the WCC's gotten better. I think Gonzaga's gotten worse.
I'd say St. Mary's gotten better.
St. Mary's would, from time to time, do this. I'm telling you, though, babe, I know exactly what I'm doing come tournament time. I'll be fading everyone in the WCC.
Well, I mean, the problem about that is Gonzaga's got the longest-standing Sweet 16 run. I mean, here's my – and I don't know why we're getting into a Gonzaga conversation, which makes no sense, but
– Well, because Memphis kind of applies here, too.
I've been long defending Gonzaga forever because everyone's like, oh, they could never get it done. All right, well, they went to the national championship and got absolutely jobbed by the referees when they played UNC, however many years ago that was. But you can't fake your way to the Sweet 16 every single year. I mean, they've been to the Sweet 16, what, 15 straight years or something insane like that?
I'm trying to remember. I think it starts with, did it start with Morrison?
I mean, he still got to the Sweet 16.
That's what I'm saying. I think it kind of, I mean, last night on the Gonzaga broadcast, I mean, you want to talk back just a trip down memory lane. Dan Dickow was on the broadcast, and I mean, I remember not combing my hair for like 6 months trying to get that Dan Dickow mop. You know, that's slightly, it's, it wasn't.
They've made it nine straight Sweet 16s. Like, that's a really impressive accomplishment.
I presume it's the longest active, because I know last year, like, they knocked off Kansas to get there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think this is interesting because I also think there are, obviously this applies for Memphis. I think to a certain degree, this might also apply to Duke.
Yeah, I'll say this. If you go to KenPom right now, the ACC is the fifth best conference, which shouldn't come as a surprise. It's SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Big East, then the ACC. That's not surprising. What's surprising is the Mountain West is closer to the ACC than the ACC is to the Big East. Like, that's where the ACC is at this year. And Duke is obviously going to be a one seed. Clemson's a tournament team. Louisville's a tournament team. And that's it. Maybe SMU. UNC's a disaster. Like, they can't stay out of their own way. They've been gifted opportunity after opportunity. Like, how do you not beat Clemson on Monday? I'm sorry.
How do you just not stay competitive?
You got embarrassed by Clemson on Monday, 48 hours removed from them beating Duke.
I can also tell somebody might have taken some points on the road.
Yes, I did. I took 6.5, and it closed 4.5, and they got absolutely destroyed. But yeah, it is. But to all that, I mean, the AAC right now is a worse conference than the A-10, CUSA. It's the 10th best conference per KenPom right now.
No, and I mean, I think this is, though, then I contrast it, though. This is what I find interesting about this tournament, because the nature and the volume of SEC fans is always going to cause people to feel a certain way. And it seems like at this point, they are trending towards they're going to break the record for number of bids. I don't know if they're going to get 13 like some are projecting, but I think they're going to get at least 12. Because the other thing about 13 is...
Is Arkansas the 13th?
Georgia, Arkansas...
Texas is kind of... Texas needs to win Vandy,
like, that's the other thing that's interesting about tomorrow. There's a lot of games in the SEC where the team that is playing better is going up against a team that has kind of like got their backs against the wall and really, really needs the win. Like Ole Miss and Mississippi State, like it's a rivalry game, but like Ole Miss can afford a loss. Mississippi State at some point is going to like need to start racking up some wins. Arkansas goes to like Texas A&M. You've also got Vandy at Tennessee. Like, there's a lot of these games where these teams that really need the win are just not in great form. Georgia really needs a win at some point.
Yeah.
But I also think this could be true. These SEC teams, it's not just going to be a simple formula of, all right, they've got 7 conference wins, they're in, or they've got 8 conference wins, they're in. I do think because the volume of teams is going to be so high, they're not going to get maybe the benefit of the doubt that certain teams would. And so it's almost like, hey, man, these teams that are at the bottom part, like, you better pick up a couple of nice wins along the way.
And to your point, why you brought this up with the AAC schedule, which was like Valentine's Day, where it was just get out and don't stub your toe, because there's really nothing right now that Memphis can do that enhances their resume, but they can really hurt it, right? Like,
oh, for sure. I mean, that's,
I mean, the Temple loss looks even worse now. They're a 500 team in conference play. I know they avenged it, but there's really, you know, they don't play North Texas again, right?
They do not. I will say this, though. One thing that I think is actually...
beating North Texas on a neutral in the conference tournament would be beneficial. That would be, I believe... I haven't looked at the net rankings, but I think that would be a Q1 win.
Yeah, I almost think, though... I think we got to... the thinking about the conference tournament and losses, I think we got to set that aside. I think what the committee's clearly said is, we view this as a mulligan. This is not an opportunity to beef up your resume in 4 days. This is the, you played your way out of the tournament, here's your chance to play your way back in. But we've seen that they largely dismiss the results, other than like, okay, if you were maybe a team that was going to go to Dayton, okay, now if you win your tournament, we're going to put you on the bracket. But for the most part, it really hasn't, because there have been a lot of teams in the last like 10 years that thought like a run to a Saturday in their conference tournament was going to help them, but it really hasn't.
Especially the conferences that end on Sunday. Like,
yeah.
we've learned that,
because the bracket's
done unless you weren't going to make the field, and then that will be adjusted. And you know, I'm so fascinated by Memphis's resume right now, because the net and KenPom, they don't really like Memphis, right? 44th in the net. I think they're comparable.
Predictive metrics do not like Memphis. So like, even last night, they won. I think KenPom had it as like a, most of the metrics had it as a 10-point win. They win by 15. They dropped a spot in the net.
So they have in the top 44, and they're 44th. They're the only team with 2 quad 3 losses.
Yes.
However, New Mexico, who's ahead of them, has a quad 4 loss. So if you combine quad 3 and quad 4.
But also, they have a chance. Arkansas State has been climbing. I think if Arkansas State, I think they're at like 81 maybe.
And that's a...
it's right
okay,
now it's a,
so
quad
that's a quad
3. It's right now it's a quad 3 loss, but they
need them. But that's at home, so you need them to get in the top 50.
Is it 50? I couldn't remember if it was 75.
Yeah. Home, if you're at home, I think it's top 50. There's a lot of... I mean, well, look, we're not talking about a bubble situation, right?
We're talking about
seeding now. And, you know, we're going back to Gonzaga. I mean, right now, Gonzaga, they're like on the 8 line. No, I think they're even higher. I think they might be on the 10 line. Like, there's going to be some teams, and that's what's going to be so fascinating about this year's tournament, is that Memphis is capable of beating UConn. We saw it. Capable of beating Michigan State. Capable of beating Missouri and Ole Miss. And they could be on the 7 line. A 7-2 matchup? Good God, man. Like, if you're the 2, great, thanks. How about facing Gonzaga as a 1 seed? Right now, like, Gonzaga has their warts, but they're still elite offensively, and they've got, I mean, Nembhard is an All-American guard, so it's gonna be really, I think this year's tournament's gonna be real. I mean, I know we say this every year, but like, I know you have made a living on fading Mountain West teams, and I've got
and WCC,
I've got a partialness in my heart for WCC teams, but like, dude, if you played New Mexico in the second round as one of the higher seeds, like, that's not going to be fun.
Well, this is what
they've got elite guard play.
This is what I find interesting about this, and we'll talk about this next with Blake Topmeyer. I am interested to see how this is going to contrast. When we have these teams that are playing conference schedules that are not offering anything versus the SEC, where with the exception of South Carolina and LSU, the truth is, though, as long as you play them on the road,
South Carolina almost won the other night.
They're 0-11 now with 6 one-score losses.
They should have beat. I mean, they were right there with Ole Miss on Wednesday night.
I mean, they're 0-11 in league play with 6 one-score losses.
Yeah.
So, and like metrically, they're still, as long as you play them on the road, I think it's still a quad two game. But when you see the SEC being just this massive, you know, war throughout the season, is that going to wear teams down, or is that only going to be, okay, once they get into tournament play, it's going to be just like the non-conference where we're just going to see them roll through it? Or is it going to be, hey, man, maybe the length of the season and the fact that every game was an absolute battle, maybe it just wears them down? Like, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I think the point that you made about the SEC is something I talked about last night. I had Ron Slay on my show, and we were talking about the SEC tournament, and I'm like, do you even want to win the SEC tournament this year? Like, I think taking a step back as a bettor, I think fading some of these bigger teams like Alabama, Auburn, maybe even Florida in the SEC tournament, it might be advantageous to bow out early, because to your point, it's not really, it's going to be a quad one loss because it's going to be a neutral site against a good team. I think there might be some, as we get closer to that tournament in about a month, I think there might be some fun long shots to take, because I don't know if Alabama and Auburn are really going to be geared up to be like, hey, let's go win 3 straight games in 3 days against the best teams in the country.
I mean, Tim, I get it. There's still a lot of basketball to be played in the next month, but right now we have 5 SEC teams in the top 8. That means that one team, a top 8 team, is going to not get a double bye in the SEC tournament. They'd have to win 4 games in 4 days.
No chance.
I mean, that's where we are.
And it's just dumb. Like, it's not, to your point, it's not going to affect your seed. By the way, I'm looking at one bracket right now. 3 of the 4 one seeds, SEC teams.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about all this with Blake Topmeyer next when we come back, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. He's also the host of SEC Football Unfiltered. New episodes available each and every week on all podcast platforms. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at BTopmeyer. All right, Blake, this is something that Tim and I were just discussing because you've written about it a little bit this week. I think there's the interesting question with, it seems likely at this point the SEC is going to break the Big East's 11 bids in 2011 record. But I am actually interested to see, because you're going to have this situation where a lot of the SEC teams, there really haven't been a ton of off nights, and they've been playing a grueling conference schedule versus a lot of the other leagues. Like, we're seeing the ACC, like Duke's largely rolling through it. I know they took a loss at Clemson, but they've largely been rolling through the ACC schedule. They're not going to really be tested. Do you think SEC performance in the tournament, like, do you think this is going to be kind of a inflection point for how the SEC gets treated in future tournaments? Because right now, like, the numbers just support, like, well, they're just getting in this many teams.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be quite 14, right? But I think they'll probably hit a dozen qualifiers thereabouts, maybe even 13. I don't know if they can quite get all 14 in that have, you know, sort of NCAA tournament consideration resumes at this point. But I do think that, like, as great as this season has been for the conference, this is still a sport that revolves around like 3 or 4 weeks in March and April. So that's judgment day, right? Like that's sort of how I think this SEC season will be remembered, is what do they do in March? Like, if the conference delivers in the NCAA tournament, I think this could go down as the greatest season ever for a conference. And I think, to your point, like, that sort of shapes perception going forward. If they fill up the Final Four with two or three teams, if they load up the Sweet 16 with 5 or 6 or 7 teams, if they break their drought, their national championship drought, like, I do think that helps the legacy of this season, but also it helps you in future years when you've got a couple teams on the bubble, and, you know, at least on a subconscious level, it's in the mind of the selection committee, like, oh, hey, this conference really acquitted itself well in the tournament, you know, last season. We can feel safe giving, you know, this SEC team one of the last 4 spots in the field. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's huge for how we'll remember this season, and I agree, it can help shape, you know, future years on Selection Sunday.
You know, when we look at the SEC right now, and tomorrow on display, Auburn, Alabama, 1-2. It's going to be hopefully what we expect from the two best offenses in the country. Blake, I'm curious your perception of this conference and who's a team that maybe isn't getting the shine that they deserve. Because I think Auburn, Alabama, heck, even Kentucky and Tennessee have gotten a love to an extent. Is there a team?
Kentucky gets too much love.
Yeah.
Because it's designed. The Kentucky hype is just designed to be like an extra parting shot at Calipari.
Well, I think it's also when did you get some of your big wins?
Sure.
I think they kind of that first Saturday of the college basketball season in the new year, they had that thriller against Florida. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's carried weight. I mean, they've lost five times in conference play, but I digress. Blake, is there a team that you feel like isn't getting the proper shine in the SEC right now?
Well, and they are in the rankings, but the team that you didn't mention there, and I think it sort of reflects that they're being overlooked despite their ranking, despite their record, it's Florida. Like, there's so much attention on the two Alabama schools, Alabama and Auburn. Tennessee gets a lot of attention because of the consistency under Rick Barnes. Like, we've come to expect now Tennessee's pumping out top 10, top 15 teams year after year. Kentucky, because it's Kentucky, is going to get the attention. But, you know, the stat nerds will always point to the teams that are ranked in the top 20 of KenPom's analytics and offense and the top 20 of KenPom's analytics for defense. And sometimes I give the nerds a little trouble about this because, I mean, they are just they're relentless about
they also cherry pick the stat because it's post national championship. So a lot of the teams that go on to win, they boot like their number. Like maybe they didn't qualify at the start of the tournament, but their numbers because they won six big games, their numbers get better.
That is true, but I do think the overall point, analytics aside, of like the teams that I think are best poised for a deep run in March are the teams that can get it done at both ends of the court, right? Because you're going to win six games in a row in a single elimination type tournament, you're probably going to have to get through a night where your shots aren't falling, the threes aren't falling, and you're probably going to have to get through a night where maybe it's a tough defensive matchup and you do need to lean on being able to hit some shots. So I think it sure helps you to be able to do it at both ends of the court. And I think Florida can do that. And I know they maybe don't totally fit, I think, the definition of your question of being overlooked because, I mean, right now they're ranked number 3 in the polls. But I do think just in terms of buzz, there's so much buzz around Alabama and Auburn. I think there's a lot of buzz around Tennessee and Kentucky as well. And for whatever reason, despite the number 3 ranking, I do think Florida is maybe not given quite as much attention, particularly with Alabama and Auburn. And because both those schools are so good in the same state and the rivalry, and we immediately think Alabama football state, you know, I think that overshadows Florida a little bit. But in terms of which of these teams could win the whole thing, I mean, really, any of the teams that we just mentioned, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, I think any of those three could win it all. But I might like Florida the best out of the three.
I was kind of thinking along those same lines. I don't know what to do with A&M because I think A&M's good, but when you start to, like, dig more into their resume, like, what's their best win is kind of the Ole Miss collapse, right? Like that's a really good win, but it's like when you start going through the conference thing, it's like, okay, they've taken advantage of Texas and then they turned around after the Ole Miss collapse and that they won. They had a collapse of their own. They lose to Texas, but it's Oklahoma, LSU, Ole Miss, Oklahoma again, South Carolina, Missouri, Georgia. Honestly, the other win that I was kind of thinking of, another team that kind of applies, and it's more eye test than it is resume. Like I kind of think Missouri's getting slept on a little bit.
Yeah, I think Missouri's getting slept on a little bit as far as like a team that could kind of crash the Sweet 16 or maybe even an Elite Eight. I don't know that it would surprise me if Missouri could go on like a Final Four run. Texas A&M is an interesting one. Great defense. The offense, I don't like as much as teams like Florida, Alabama, Auburn. Obviously, got a veteran guard with which I always like in March teams. With good guards, I think you got to start there. I think you need good guards, but particularly if you got a couple good veteran guards, I think that helps you so much. And A&M's got it, and Wade Taylor, and so does Florida with Walter Clayton, another senior guard that can really fill it up. I don't think A&M has the depth of scorers, you know, guys that can go off for 15, 20 a night. I don't think they have as many of those guys as some of the best teams in the league, and so that concerns me a little bit in terms of their ability to, say, cut down nets, which, you know, based on their ranking, I mean, they're in the top 10 in the polls. You know, you would say based off that, you have to give them a chance to win it all. But I just don't like them quite as much, like, as far as, like, Final Four and beyond. But could they make an Elite Eight? Sure, that they could. I mean, that's the thing about the SEC this year is, like, not only could they get 12, 13, 14 teams in the tournament, like, of those teams that are going to qualify, I'd say, like, 10 of them could make an Elite Eight. Obviously, mathematically, that doesn't work, right? But I'm just saying, like, teams that on paper, you say, like, yeah, I don't rule out the chance of them to get hot and make an Elite Eight. You know, the last couple teams in from this conference, no, they're not going to go on a run. But, like I said, I think there are, like, 8 to 10 teams that could hang around, you know, into the second weekend of the tournament.
Well, I think that's the other thing that's interesting is, so when the Big East famously got 11 teams in 2011, my favorite stat was the city of Richmond had as many teams in the Sweet 16 as the Big East did. And so they went from, like, 11 to 9, but then we started to see, even though the league was largely constituted the same, it started to hold them back. Like, they weren't getting the amount of respect. Do you think, largely given how, you know, the SEC can be vocal and it can certainly make people feel a certain way, do you think their performance is going to dictate the future?
I do think to a certain extent. Like, if they get 13 or 14 and then flop in the tournament, I think they would be hard-pressed to get 12, 13, 14, you know, in the future. Because, like, they're probably going to break the record. Like you said, 2011 Big East, that broke the record with 11 bids. Not only that, though, that's the only year any conference has ever gotten double-digit bids.
Yep.
So it's not like there was a bunch of 10s and then the 11. Like, that, I mean, that shattered the record. And then at the end of that tournament, UConn cut down the nets. So, you know, in terms of winning the championship, the Big East delivered. But you're right, they just had two teams reach the Sweet 16. And so from a tournament perspective, it was a little bit of a bust for the conference. And I do think that hurt a little bit. And so, yeah, I think it's a couple things. Like, you need to have teams in the Sweet 16, and you need to get at least a minimum of one to the Final Four. Really, two would be nice. I mean, three is the record, 1985 Big East, which is, you know, held up by many as sort of the bar to exceed. But it's so tough to compare because the Big East in 1985 had 9 teams, and they put 6 in the tournament. 3 made it to the Final Four. I mean, it was an incredible run. You talk to, you know, basketball historians, because that was, you know, before I was forming memories. But for those who saw it, an incredible tournament for the Big East that's remembered not for the number of qualifiers. Like I said, they got 6 in. It was a 9-team conference. But because of the deep runs that those teams had, 5 of their 6 qualifiers won at least one game. 4 of the 6 were in the Sweet 16, 3 in the Final Four, and then an all Big East championship matchup, you know, Villanova upsetting Georgetown in that game, that championship game. Like, I think that's why that conference, 40 years later, is still held up by many as the standard setter. The 1985 Big East is because you're remembered by what happens in March, and that conference absolutely delivered 40 years ago. And I think that's why we, you know, maybe the historians don't necessarily point to 2011 Big East is because they won the championship, but they weren't there in the Sweet 16, the Final Four in big numbers. So, yeah, I mean, if the SEC wants to be putting 12, 13, 14 teams in the tournament year after year, they can't put that number in this year and then flop and have like 2 or 3 teams in the Sweet 16. You need 5 or 6 in the Sweet 16. You need 2+ in the Final Four, I think.
Memphis, the other Final Four team that year, by the way.
That's right, yeah.
1985. Blake, when you look at the Wooden Award, odds right now have Cooper Flagg as a pretty sizable favorite. FanDuel, I'm looking at minus 650 for him. John A. Broome is at plus 420. And then it's, I mean, it does, no one else matters. I mean, those are the two. Is it that far of a gap in your opinion? Because it was funny. I was listening to, Dan Dickow last night, and he was talking about, you know, Broome, and he's like, you know, Broome might be the favorite. And Dave Fleming, the play-by-play guy, was like, no, he's not. It's Cooper Flagg. But is it that big of a gap knowing that Broome only missed two games with the ankle injury, and they've got this showdown, they've got two showdowns still to come with Alabama? Can Broome claw his way back into more contention than the odds would say?
You know, I think he could, depending on what happens Saturday. I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game with Alabama Saturday, right? If he goes off in that one, kind of is strong in the finish line, I think maybe he's got a chance. But it's pretty uphill as far as I'm concerned. Like I think Cooper Flagg has a healthy lead. I wouldn't say like he's lapped the field or anything, but I do think he's a healthy lead, and Broome is clearly chasing at this point. I kind of go back to last year, and it was really sort of a two or three horse race last season, and it's kind of I don't know that the guys at the top are maybe as dominant as last year with the Purdue big fellow who I'm
Edie
Zach Edie on his name.
Yep.
Yeah, Edie, and then Dalton Connect from Tennessee. Like I think maybe if either of those guys would have had that season this season, that either of them probably would have won the award this year. But I mean, I think either Flagg or Broome would be deserving. But I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? I think Flagg's probably got a pretty healthy lead at this point.
He doesn't not that Jani Broome has disappointed. It's like Broome also kind of fell into the category. I used to always say the worst thing you could be is the Heisman front runner in October, because it just always felt like, you know, when a lot of the Heisman voters would finally start watching, like in November, they hadn't seen your 10 other games that you were miraculous, and they saw one game where you maybe got overmatched and you fell apart. It almost felt like Jani Broome came out of the gates like so hot that it was almost people looking for anything else. And then Cooper Flagg obviously had name recognition coming into the season despite being a freshman. But then the other thing about him is like he just doesn't really have like off nights, and not that
well, the day
like
he
really
was,
does, but it's like
the
he's
day
just
he
awesome.
Was off was the Clemson game,
yeah.
And then the last 6 minutes, even though they lost, he started going crazy. So yeah, I think to your point, as stupid as this sounds, the day Broome got hurt, Flagg went for 42 against Notre Dame, and it felt like it just completely shifted it to Flagg being the favorite. And then since then, there really hasn't been a poor performance, right? So, and I think too, like, it's not Cooper Flagg's fault that the ACC stinks, and moving forward, they're going to be a pretty significant favorite outside of a game at Madison Square Garden a week from Saturday against Illinois. And, you know, maybe that's the game that solidifies it for them, because that's kind of the last real, as crazy as it sounds, because they have UNC still on the schedule, that's really the last potential stumbling block for Duke in the regular season.
I'll add one kind of, I guess, left field candidate, although I don't think it'll get to this point, but say Alabama wins Saturday and Mark Sears goes off. Like, does he still have a shot? I mean, the guy's averaging like 5 assists per game. There was a stretch earlier this season where he went for 20 plus, I think like 6 times in a 7-game span. He's cooled off a little bit recently, but I don't know. He's a guy that can get hot and just torch you from the perimeter, pour in the threes. Like, it's an uphill battle, but I'm just trying to think of other guys that could maybe get into the mix and be a little bit of a fly in the ointment. I mean, it's
Braden, you know, Smith from Purdue has been phenomenal this year, but I doubt he'll.
Well, like, I mean, I think there's another issue here. It's like you have to be on a high profile team. Giannotto was griping at me on Wednesday night off the show. He's like, Purdue and Michigan are playing for the number one spot in the Big Ten, and it's on Peacock. Like, he's just going, I was like, Mark, I told you that's what was going to happen when you signed the contract.
Like, Juju Smith.
Like, yeah.
What's her name last night for USC? She was on Peacock, and we all saw it, man.
Juju Watkins.
Yeah, holy smoke, she was awesome last night. That was cool.
And then there's kind of like the other thing. It's like you have to be on a high-profile enough team. And so, like, Liam McNeely's missed too much. But, like, if Liam McNeely were going for 35 every night like he did when he single-handedly, like, Liam McNeely's the only person on UConn that can make a shot outside of the paint. But it's like he's not going to have enough games. Like, Ryan Kalkbrenner is like, it's like, I just find it hard to believe back-to-back bigs like that are going to win. It's like, I'm still not convinced that Kalkbrenner's anything but big. But, you know, it's like, I don't even know, like, who is even on a high-profile enough team that can, I mean, I think you're probably onto something with Sears, but, like, what a story that would be. Got benched in an LSU game and then goes on to win Player of the Year.
I know, and that's the thing, right? Like, that's why he's back in the pack right now. I think, like we've been talking about, there's a clear front runner at Flag. There's a clear runner up. I think it's Broome. But I think if I had to identify, you know, the guy who could come from behind, I do think it's Sears, because I agree with you. You have to be on a really high profile team. You got to be in these high profile games, which Alabama will be. And if you're going to be making up ground, I think you have to be a guy that can start pouring in some 25-point games, which he can, and he did earlier this season. It's just, you know, I think it probably happened a little bit too soon, whereas the last several games have not been his best. I think he got hottest. I don't remember when that stretch was. It might have been like December, early January. Seems like when that stretch where he was just ripping off like 25 points a night. But, I mean, the numbers are pretty good. Like, they're right there. It's just the attention is not there like it is with Flag, but he is a guy on a number one team that if he starts all of a sudden getting hot and going for 25 a night, I don't know. He's sort of my wild card, I guess, that could keep it from just being this two-horse race.
Okay, we'll wrap up here with you, because this was something that Tim and I were talking about. Again, who knows? There's still a month left of basketball, so there are losses to be had. But if the SEC tournament started today, Texas A&M would be ranked eighth in the country, and they would likely be out of the double bye scenario. How like balls to the wall do you think? Because I think there's this thought of, like, you know, the real national championship is going to be the SEC tournament. But I'm like, Tim, man, if I'm one of these teams, it's like, if I'm A&M or whoever ends up having to go and win four games.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.